This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Markets are moving as traders closely watch the state of Georgia and a pair of Senate runoff elections. At least one winner has been declared by the Associated Press. We'll bring you the latest from the state. Plus, in Washington today, some lawmakers are set to raise objections to President-elect Joe Biden's Electoral College win.
The fact that some new members, a handful of them, are coming into the Senate, and this is one of the first things that they vote for, could really cause issues within the Republican caucus in the Senate.
And the World Bank weighs in on the future of the global economy and the impact of the pandemic on growth. We'll talk to our markets editor about that. It's Wednesday, January 6th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. The Associated Press is declaring Democratic candidate Raphael Warnock as the winner of one of the Senate seats in the Georgia runoffs, defeating incumbent Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler in a close race. Warnock would become the state's first Black senator.
So I come before you tonight as a man who knows that the improbable journey that led me to this place in this historic moment in America could only happen here. We were told that we couldn't win this election. But tonight, we prove that with hope, hard work, and the people by our side, anything is possible.
Loeffler spoke earlier this morning.
We're going to make sure every vote is counted. That's right. Every legal vote will be counted, and I'm not going to stop working. In the morning, in fact, I'm going to be heading to Washington, D.C. to keep fighting. That's right. We're going to fight for this president.
For the moment, the race between incumbent Republican David Perdue and Democratic candidate John Ossoff remains too close to call. Investors are also paying attention to the runoffs. We're watching the 10-year Treasury note. The yield hit 1% for the first time since March. The growth comes after returns fueled bets the Democrats could win narrow control of the Senate. Both Democratic candidates would have to win. We'll keep you posted throughout the day on WSJ.com. Lawmakers will meet in Washington today to certify President-elect Joe Biden's Electoral College victory, but objections are expected by a group of Republican senators focusing on the results in Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. None of the challenges are expected to succeed. Meantime, some supporters of President Trump began their planned protest last night. In a moment, we'll get some context about all of this from WSJ national political reporter Eliza Collins. President Trump has signed a new executive order banning transactions with several Chinese apps, including Jack Ma's Alipay, and several apps owned by tech giant Tencent that include WeChat. The president said the apps could access private information from their users and could be used by the Chinese government to monitor U.S. federal employees and contractors. The order takes effect in 45 days after President Trump leaves office. The Journal's John McKinnon has more.
It is a little bit of a parting shot, and there have been some signals from the Biden administration that they don't want to allow a lot of Trump administration midnight regulations, if you will, to take effect. At the same time, this executive order really gets at some very sticky, worrisome issues that are arising in e-commerce and social media that are rooted in China. And so this is a set of problems that one way or another, the Biden administration also is going to have to address, even if they don't like this particular way of doing it.
A spokesman for President-elect Joe Biden's transition team has declined to comment on the order. China's foreign ministry said the order was another example of the U.S., quote, abusing its national power to oppress foreign companies. The owners of Alipay and WeChat had no immediate comment. Police in Hong Kong have arrested more than 50 pro-democracy figures in a series of early morning raids. It's the biggest sweep since a national security law was imposed by China 6 months ago. The arrests targeting pro-democracy politicians were related to unofficial primary elections held by the opposition camp to choose candidates ahead of suspended legislative elections last year. That's according to some of those arrested on social media. Police said in addition to the arrests, they searched 72 locations, and four media companies were ordered to turn over materials related to the investigation. A new World Bank forecast suggests the global economy is expected to grow 4% this year after contracting 4.3% in 2020. The projection is slightly lower than its forecast in June. Let's break this down further with markets editor Quinton Webb in Hong Kong. Hi, Quinton. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
So, Quinton, even before COVID-19, the World Bank was lowering its projections.
That's right. So the World Bank thinks effectively that the world's potential to grow has slowed anyway, even before COVID-19, partly because of this kind of rapid accumulation of debt in recent years. And in a new report, it now warns that, in fact, that could be exacerbated by the coronavirus pandemic.
Even with all of that said, could there be some growth? Will there be some growth in some regions?
For sure. There will be growth in the years ahead. And of course, we'll see a kind of year of bounce back growth in 2021. But the point is that, you know, you have these lasting scarring effects. Companies and governments are reluctant to invest. You have all of this kind of damage to what's called human capital. So, for example, you know, think of all of the training that's gone uncompleted in the last few months, or all the children who've been unable to complete their schooling, etc. And all of those things will have a long lasting effect. So it's not saying there's not going to be no growth, and we will see this kind of short term spike in growth this year. But overall, you know, unless there are kind of important structural reforms put in place, what the World Bank is saying is that the prospects for kind of longer term growth over the next decade were already not great, and they're looking even a little bit grimmer post-pandemic.
Quinton Webb, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Just ahead, we'll get insight from Washington about the implications of today's certification of the Electoral College vote after a quick break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
As we've been discussing, members of Congress will meet today to certify the Electoral College results showing Joe Biden won the presidential election. But what's normally a formality has taken on some political drama, as several lawmakers are expected to raise objections. We've reported the maneuver isn't expected to change the outcome, but there still could be a long-term impact. For more, I want to bring in national political reporter Eliza Collins into the conversation. Eliza, good morning.
Hi, Mark.
Eliza, based off of your conversations with your sources, is there concern of lasting damage? Some of these lawmakers who may be challenging the results are brand new and will have to have relationships with their colleagues on both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely. Yes, this is revealing a rift in the GOP. And it's, if you look at it, it's basically new members or members who might have 2024 presidential ambitions or who come from very conservative states like Louisiana versus members who have been in the Senate for a long time. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, urged his members not to do this. And it is very unusual for members to break with Mitch McConnell. So the fact that some new members, a handful of them, are coming into the Senate, and this is one of the first things that they vote for, could really cause issues within the Republican caucus in the Senate.
So what about the conversations within the parties? I mean, specifically the Republican Party. As you mentioned, some Republican leaders are encouraging their colleagues to retreat, others not so much.
There's a lot of concern and frustration with Republicans. There are a handful of Republicans who are up for re-election in 2022 in competitive states, and they feel like their colleagues and possibly their ambitions, you know, Josh Hawley of Missouri, Ted Cruz of Texas, are two names that keep popping up as people who they feel like are basically putting their own interests, their ambitions for 2024 presidential runs. They have not announced presidential runs, I have to be clear, but they are two names that have been talked about, you know, possibly running in 2024. They feel like their own ambitions are putting themselves ahead of their colleagues. And so some of these senators up in 2022 are worried that they're basically going to have to either vote against the president, who is still very popular with the party, and possibly get a primary challenger from the right, or, you know, vote with the president and hurt their chances in a general election in a state that is competitive. And so there is a lot of frustration within the party, and that's what Mitch McConnell tried to urge Republicans, you know, not to do. He basically said, you'll be putting your colleagues, you know, in danger. And there just are, you know, about a dozen senators who basically ignored that message and for whatever reason decided that they are going to side with the president on this.
Is there anything taking place, maybe not so much in the public view, to try and instill some stability and uniformity?
So there were a lot of conversations. I think at this week, people have really come out and made their decisions and said what they want to say. And there's some real accusations out there, especially with some of the senators who have said that they will vote against these efforts. You know, they said, my job is to defend the Constitution. Some people are accusing their colleagues and their political ambitions over following the Constitution. Now, you know, it's the daily reminder that there is no evidence of widespread fraud. So it's really important to note that these dozen senators who are objecting and over 100 House members are objecting in states where there is no evidence of widespread fraud. The president has challenged this in many times in the courts and been shot down. And so there was a lot of conversations behind the scenes and concern initially, but now many people have come out and said which way they'll vote.
And Eliza, as you know from being in Washington, the ratification of the electoral votes is ceremonial, but D.C. is bracing for protests.
Right. So this is something President Trump has urged his supporters to come to Washington. He's really played up the day, you know, making it seem almost like the election will be overturned, which, you know, we have no indication that that is possible. We're talking about, you know, the split within the Republican Party. Of course, no Democrat is likely to stand with the president on this. But thousands of supporters have come to Washington. The mayor, law enforcement in D.C. are urging residents to stay away. There's concern of violence. And so we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we know that thousands of people are already in D.C. supporting the president on this.
Eliza Collins, always appreciate your insights. Thanks so much.
Happy to be here.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday. With so many developing stories, make sure you join us for a new episode tonight. We'll also keep you updated on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.